a song about Holden by Rattlesnake Charlie Rowe, followed by an interview.
Lake Chelan and the Holden Mine. There's a clear blue lake of water nestled down between two mountain ridges high, where you can see the beautiful reflections of snow-capped peaks and the clear blue sky. It is a playground for the mountain goats, mule deer, cougar, and black bear. You may travel over miles of country, you'll find no place that will compare. Its length is well over 50 miles of rugged cliff and broken terrain. Many creeks are flowing into it where the snowpacks and glaciers drain. A scenic trip on the Lady of the Lake winds its way through waves that break. Through snow-capped peaks, many people compare with the Swiss Alps and steams over there. The House Sound Mine up Railroad Creek, where the old winding road many people seek. The mine is closed, the mill tore down, the Lutheran Church now own the town. Many excursions end up there, for hospitality they do their share. It's a wonderful place you ought to see, it will always linger in your memory.
Just made a tape of the songs that you did. You say your name is?
Charles Rowe.
And what do they call you?
It's Rattlesnake Charlie.
How in the world did you ever get that name?
Well, that's my CB handle. I couldn't think of anything more ornery than a rattlesnake, and I'm kind of ornery, so that's the reason I got it.
Well, I don't think it's being very ornery. Maybe you were more so when you were up here in the mining days.
Well, no, I got along just fine here in the mining days, mm-hmm. and I enjoyed every minute of it. And I was in the machine shop for the last 7 years. I had my two saddle horses and two burros and went back to the high lakes and fished and just rode around and enjoyed myself.
So you didn't do much hiking on foot?
No hiking on foot.
Uh-huh. Which back lakes are you referring to?
Well, Lyman and all of the Holden, Lyman and I forget.
Hart,
yeah. Yeah. Then I went clear over the mountain through the pass, too, on the other side.
Past Cloudy Pass?
Yeah, through Cloudy Pass. And, I used to watch, and then I'd go to the top of the mountains where the mountain goats was, and where I couldn't climb, where the horse couldn't make it alone, I'd take a hold of the horse's tail and start him up the mountain and follow him up, clear up above where the mountain goats were.
I think you're kidding me now.
No, I'm not, because one of the guys said to up there, he says, you know, I says, I saw horse tracks up here when I was up there on Mountain Goat. He said, no horse could ever make it up there. Mm. I said, well, one horse did, and that was mine. Mm. So he wasn't fooled. I had a horse that was sure-footed, and I broke him out up there in these hills. He could climb anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so those were really happy days for you, huh?
Those were really wonderful days.
You liked your work?
I liked my work. I liked everything. Everything was fine, I think. Mm-hmm.
Were you married at that time?
Oh, yes. I was married.
Where did you live?
Oh, I lived right up across here in one of the dorms.
Oh.
But we was here when I think it was 55, when we had 642 inches of snow. And that's the only time I ever shoveled snow off on the top of a house and shoveled uphill.
Hmm.
I think he showed some of the pictures of there of where the snow, where you had to count the holes to get into the houses. Up there, the snow was clear over. They'd shovel it up until they couldn't see anymore, and there was just snow covered right over, and then they had to shovel out to this road, and the big cats opened the road up, and they get out to my... Some of my daughter had a place up there, and son-in-law.
Mm. You know. And they continued to mine during that heavy winter?
Oh, yes. And nobody ever had a cold up there. Nobody had a cold, but the minute they'd go out to Chelan or Wenatchee or something, they'd come back in with a cold.
What accounts for that, do you think?
The air. I think it was the high, clear air. Mm-hmm. The only thing any of us figure out was just did it. It's the most healthy place that we ever was in.
It's been some pretty clean living.
That's right. We don't, my wife and I, we don't drink or we don't smoke, and so we just got along. They told us when we come up here in the mining town, they said, you don't drink, you won't get along with anybody.
Hmm.
But we found out we had as many friends, I think, as anybody.
You think the people that came up here were pretty much the same as out there, huh?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and there was a lot of nice people. There was, of course, you get in a mining town, you get a little roughness, but for the most part, it was a very good bunch.
Mm-hmm.
And I never had any trouble with anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids, I know there's a bunch of the kids now, they're pretty well grown up. They were little kids like this, and they used to ride my burros and horses, and they come up here on the boat this time, and they says, you probably don't know us, but we know you.
Right?
We used to ride your horses.
Hmm.
And then I had a black snake. I made a black snake, a 12-foot black snake, and I taught one of the little kids, 7 years old, how to crack that black snake.
Hmm.
So I brought it down to the silk stocking row, they called it up there. And some of those guys, those engineers and the like, they said, oh, if that kid can crack it, I can. So they tried to crack it, and they'd get it around their neck, and it was more fun than a picnic. Those guys couldn't crack that whip without getting it wound around their neck.
Hmm. Quite an art, huh, to crack one of those whips.
It is.
Hmm.
But, of course, I was raised back in Montana, where I had to use them all the time, and there's nothing to it.
Mm-hmm. You know these pretty girls here?
No, I've seen them around here since I come with her.
Yeah, maybe they'd like to ask you a question or two.
Okay.
Would you?
Shoot.
You here?
7 years.
7 years.
The last 7 years.
And it's interesting to me that you said your horse could make it up. We have horses, and I know how hard it is for them to climb this kind of steep, rocky kind of terrain. So I'm
sure. Well, they would. The horse was raised here, and so he'd go right up over that shale rock, and I couldn't make it a foot. So I'd get off, and it was too hard for him when I was on him. So I'd just get off and start him up, and I'd take a hold of his tail, and he'd go right on up and take me up. Coming down, I didn't ride him either. And one time I fell in the buckbrush, and I was afraid the horse would be right on top of me because he was coming right behind me. But you know, he knew right where I was, although I was right in that buckbrush. He stopped and never touched me. He'd follow me. I could go. One time I started up this 9 mile hill, I guess, a deer trail, and I was going up and I come to a Y, but I didn't notice that. I went on over and over the mountain, and I come back and it was getting dusk. And I, all at once the horse stopped. And he'd follow me, you know, I didn't lead him or anything, and he stopped, and I went back. I was going to get him licking, so I tried to get him to come, and he wouldn't come. So I went back. I was going to get him licking for not following me, and then I happened to notice down there was a Y in the trail, and I noticed his track there. He knew that I was going the wrong direction. I'd ended up in a box canyon way back here if I'd have went on, but he wouldn't go. He knew it was the right way back. So a horse sometimes knows more than the guy that owns it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard of horses finding their way home in snowstorms and bad conditions.
And it's like I was raised in Montana. I write most of my, the only songs I can write is about something that I've actually seen. Mm-hmm. I've written a good many songs, oh, probably 15 songs or better. And then I sing a lot of the old songs over the radio here in Chelan. I sing it right at home, and it goes right on the telephone and then out over the radio. So I started for the old people. I'd sing the real old songs they knew when I was a kid, and then I started making some up. But my daughter, granddaughter rather, she says, didn't know the old people that like those old songs, says the young people like them too. So if I don't sing, why, they want to know if I'm sick or what's the matter. But you can see my hand is, I got arthritis and one thing or another, so I can't play as good as I used to or sing as good. My voice ain't too hot, but when I listen to some of them on the TVs and stuff, I decide, well, heck, I guess I can do as good as this.
Yeah, well, you play the guitar too then.
Oh, yeah.
You've been doing this all your life? Or?
No. I played with the Hillbilly Orchestra when I was a kid back in Montana. And for a couple of years at these dances and the like. And then I left, and I didn't have money enough in those days to buy an instrument of my own, so I didn't have any. So I never had an instrument until about 37. I bought an old secondhand guitar for $15, and I tuned it, and then my kids would say on a Thanksgiving or Christmas or something, I'd say, Daddy, get the guitar. We want to get a play and we'll sing. So it was all pretty good singers, and so they'd all would sit around and sing songs and the like of that. Mm-hmm. And so until I retired here about 4 years ago, I heard someone, a lady, singing on the radio, and she didn't have any instruments. She just sang, and she was real old. Still sings once in a while, but very seldom. So I thought, well, I'll try it. And then I didn't tell them who I was at first. Mm-hmm. And so then somebody recognized my voice, and so then they knew who I was. Then they'd call for me to sing different songs and all that. And so I do, if I can find the old song, if I have it, or why I sing it for them, or and the like of that.
Well, that's really great. What did you say you did in the mine when you were up here?
I was a machinist. Oh. I never went inside the mine.
Is that right?
I was going to, but I never got to it. I worked in the machine shop. I was head machinist
there.
Yeah.
On the upper level? Where the,
yeah.
Where the warehouse is?
Yeah, right next to the warehouse, oh. Yeah. Yeah. I think there was 245 steps going up through that mill, as I recall, that we used to walk up every morning when we're going to work.
Mm-hmm.
And,
you raised family up here then?
Well, I had a daughter. I got one granddaughter that was born while I was up here, and She's here today, and the mailman, or the guy at the head of the post office, he's here, and he took a picture of her in a mail sack one time when she was about a year old. And yeah, it's the cutest thing. She wasn't a bit bashful, and she'd go around the corner and, "Hi there," she'd say then. He said she was his girl. He called her his girl.
Yeah.
And this is the first time she's been back here. She didn't remember it, but her mother lived up in the, she lived in the apartment until she had the baby, and then she had to move out, and she moved up in the district, the housing district.
Up here, you mean?
Yeah. Then I had a boy come up here and worked in the mill for a little while, and then they shut down for a while, and I told him, I said, "You better hire him back, because I says he isn't going to be out of work very long." Then they called him back. He'd already got a job at the Alcoa down in Wenatchee, so he didn't come back up there. He was working in the mill. I helped him mess there.
Did you have any interesting experiences on your hikes? Or run into any bears? Or?
Oh, yes. I've been around bears and stuff all my life, back in Montana and like, so. And I've been in the wild open places, you might say, and I've seen a lot of things up here. The one thing that's kind of gotten me one time, went up here in this, Sierra. They'd built up at Lyman Lake. They built I let them take one of my saddle horses to go up there, but a bunch of them, they put a big camp up there, and they had to. They had the guy, I can't think of his name, the guy at the head of the lake, pack all their stuff in the mule trains and stuff, and they had two great big bottles of this gas for to cook with and the like, and they had this big tent, revival tent, like a gathering, and then they all put their little tents up, and they put them right in a nice little level spot, right at the end of every little creek that come down to the lake. And that night they had a cloud burst. And the next day I got up there, and if you think there wasn't a darn looking bunch, they all had to move into the big tent because the water washed right down through all of their tents. You'd think as long as a club like that, there's no better than to build them, put up their tents right in the spot where the creeks come right down in, just before it come into the lake.
Yeah.
Otherwise, everything was okay, and everything was pretty smooth. Oh, I'll tell you one experience. There's some of the guys up here, they made a little home brew. And I come down with my saddle horse one night, and there was two couples, and they had a jug apiece of home brew, and they had a big mug. And they was a feeding the drinking and letting these burros. They couldn't get their drink clear down, but they'd drink down a ways about half of it. They'd let them drink down about half of it, and then they'd finish it up. And the burros were just about the same condition they were. Then one woman fed all their cigarettes but one to the burros. They like cigarettes. Yeah. And he says, well, by golly, the burro ain't going to get this one. He stuck the cigarette in his mouth, and he bent over to light the match on the seat of his pants, and the burro reached out and took the cigarette right out of his mouth.
Yeah.
But that was more fun to watch them feeding those burros to their home brew. And the burros, they'd lay around and bray and just have a high old time.
Were there quite a few burros and horses up here during
that
day?
Oh, no. No, I had the only ones to hear.
No wonder you were so popular with the children and all.
Yeah. Well, I liked the children and I liked everything. Real good bunch. But one of them, his folks was going to give him a licking. His mother found a bunch of cigarette butts in his pocket. She came to wash his clothes. Mm-hmm. And he said, well, I feed them to burros. And she thought he was lying. She thought that he was smoking. So she asked me, she says, hey, do they feed those burros cigarettes? And I said, they sure do. She said, well, okay. She says, I was going to give him a licking because I thought he was going to smoke. But otherwise, there's nothing. Oh, yeah. The electrical engineer, he got on one of my burros, and he had, that was when they first got the TV here, and he had a great big tall antenna. And he got on this one burro and to have his picture taken. He had that big tall antenna up there, and all of us, the burro, decided to go up the corral and took off on a run with him with that antenna up in the air. And the antenna hit the ground, and he did too before the gun burst out.
Funny thing to watch. Huh?
Yeah, that was funny. But there was always something to do up there, seemed like something going on.
Yeah.
There was the guys, they put a mouse in my dinner bucket one day, and my wife opened it up, and she wasn't afraid of mouse. She said, look here, where'd you get this? And so she took the butcher knife and killed it. So the next day I got up and ran, and I said, well, somebody put that mouse in my dinner bucket, and whoever it was, I find out, I'm going to put in his thermos bottle. And for a week, you'd see those guys put their buckets out on the table, go through their thermos bottles to see if they had a mouse in them. They said, someone says if his wife found a mouse in their thermos, she never would put up a lunch for them, I guess. But there's, you know, there was just always something going on. Mm-hmm. And
well, I guess there have been a few generations of mice up here because there's still quite a few around.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. And we used to feed the chipmunks there, these little birds. They're different than the regular chipmunks.
Yeah.
But they'd come right out, and the miners would feed them, and they'd eat right out of the hand.
Yeah.
And like, and
they still do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. One time there was a bear coming into camp and up above, and the dogs took after, and she had a couple of cubs, and one of the cubs run up a tree. And the bear won't come back, won't run off, and she never come back after that cub. Somebody come up and got it the next day out of the tree. Oh, there's a fighting little dickens. Finally, he kept it around a couple of days, and then the game department come and gone.
Uh-huh.
But it's just like another time, the kids up here, they'd never seen rattlesnakes. There's no rattlers around here. So I told them when I was a kid, I used to catch those rattlers and get them when they'd strike at you, when they was out, straight out. Then you grab them with the tail and just start them swinging and crack their heads off, just like you would a blacksmith. So they said, they hadn't seen one, so we had some down by Manson where I was, so one day I brought one of them up, about a couple foot long, and in a 2-quart jar, and the kids saw it as the first one they'd ever seen, live one, and they says, well, hey, how about cracking his head off like you said you used to do? And I said, well, I can't make a liar out of myself, I better do it, but I'm getting older, now I ain't as fast as I used to be. So I turned him loose, And then when he started off, I grabbed him by the tail, but you know, he wasn't too long, and he pretty near got me before I got him a swinging. Then I popped his head off. Just little things like that, and it was always something doing.
Yeah.
And pulling jokes on one another and one thing. Mm-hmm.
Sounds like you've really enjoyed life.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I've really enjoyed it, but I'm old enough now. I can feel the last two or three years like I'm going downhill. Mm. And I've had my eyes operated on. I had cataracts in them, and one eye, after they got through operating on, they found it's no good, it's out. So they call me one-eyed Charlie. I think it's better out of me. But I don't know. I'm at 73. I'm in pretty good shape. Some of them say it's that.
Yeah. Where do you live?
Not right down here by Manson.
Oh yeah.
Wapto Lake.
Spent most of your life in this area.
Well, since 45. Mm-hmm. We came here in 45.
From where?
We come from Yakima, and then from there I'd come from Montana. Mm-hmm. From out from Billings, Montana. We lived all over in Montana in different places. Mm-hmm. My dad was a stockman, then drought come along and lost an awful lot of cattle, so we had to be pulled out, and so we come on out to Washington. Mm-hmm.
Is there anything else you think you'd like to tell us about your mining days?
Not in particular. Mm-hmm. We used to pull jokes on one of the guys. He come down into the shop one day and he got a couple of tires off one truck. He had a Model A and he put them on his. He was one of the bosses, so he'd get away with it. And so while he was out to dinner, I wrote "Property of Al Sound" on his tires. And, oh boy, was he hopping then when he got back up there. He says, "If I find out who did that, I'll kill you." He says, "If the boss come around, the superintendent found out that sign on there, why, he'd be in bed." There was always something going on like that, you know. We just, then one of the guys that had another Huntley was the boss and the same guy. And he had this Model A Ford. And the guys, one time he went underground for something or other. And so they put an old, had an old top transmission, top off in the transmission. And they put it on, welded the in reverse, it was in the winter. They put it back on, and he got ready to go home. He had to back all the way down that hill, then back all the way up to where he lived up in the settlement, then back all the way to work the next morning. And then while he had to go underground again, the guys put his own cover back on. He didn't know it, so he tore it all down. He couldn't find anything wrong. But you know, just different things like that. He got some iron and he built him a big bumper for his wraparound bumper for his, he got a pickup thing, and Chevy pickup. He had them make that up out of company time, you know, and company iron. He's putting it on his own pickup, and he had it on all right. And then some of the guys in the warehouse, they went and they put on a stenciled it on there, "Property of Howe Sound," and then one of the guys says, "Boy, you're going to catch the devil when Huntley comes out and finds that." I said, "Well, what do you mean? I didn't do it." "The heck you didn't." And I said, I went out and I just rode over it with crayon and oil that we used on the lathe. I wrote, "I didn't do it," and I signed my name. And some of the engineers saw me do that. Oh, then what they did, some of these guys come out and they, where I said I didn't do it, they erased the NT off, and I did do it, and then I had my name on. And then the engineers caught me erasing it, so they went underground. They told Huntley, I wrote the Scott and he putting some stuff on his bumper, and then he come out and they found that the property house found on his bumper. So he thought I did it, and there was always something going on, nothing mean or nothing, yeah. You know, just something to keep you occupied. But everybody, all of them was bowling one time, and somebody put some oil in his bowling ball,
And when he started to throw it, why, it slipped out of his fingers and went off down the wrong alley. And he thought I did it, so he put some shellac in the bottom of mine. And I started to bowl, and my fingers stuck to it, and I went halfway down the alley. Then we tell you, like Harry Rinker, he was the timekeeper, and he was a big tall fellow, and he could really bowl. And but so I'd say when he'd get up, we'd bowl against him, you know, and the office helped, and they could beat us ordinarily. So he'd get up there and just he'd get ready to bowl, you know. I'd say, not too loud, you know. I'd say, watch it. Look at his poise, boy. And he got a cute poise, you know, and I wouldn't say it very loud, just loud enough so he could hear it. It'd get him rattled, and he couldn't bowl with a darn. We could beat him every time. But just little things like that, you know, it was one big happy thing. And
well, but that's pretty great.
Now, since I've been up here once, I'm going to have to come back up again, you know. I don't know. I just dreaded to come back up and see the place like it, remember it like it used to be, and It isn't that way anymore, like in the housing and all like that.
That seems to be true of a lot of miners, that they just didn't want to come back up here.
Yeah, I've talked to several of them. Yeah. I was surprised there was such a bunch come up on the boat. Yeah. They figured there'd only be one boatload.
Yeah.
And here there's two. Well, it's just like this, what the heck is his name that got them together? He used to be just kind of a harum-scarum kid, we thought. Mm. At the time, didn't figure him out to anything. And now he's a high school professor or something, and
yeah.
And
Nigel Adams,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we know him. And he was just a kid, just kind of a hair and scale kid, but
yeah.
He turned out fine, you never can tell.
Yeah.
And
might even be some hope for these two young ladies.
Yeah, just like me, when I got married, they only gave me 6 months at the most to be married. And we were putting our 48th anniversary.
Ooh.
And but because it was a good woman, because if she hadn't been, she wouldn't have left me that long.
You think so?
Yeah, that's right.